listening to the Wesley Seminary Podcast. Your host today is Dr. Aaron Perry, Associate Professor of Pastoral Theology and Leadership.
Have you ever led in a time of crisis? Was it a time of crisis that actually brought you to the leadership floor? Was it a time of crisis where you found yourself saying, I'm not sure what to do, but I'm going to think about it in a brand new way? Was it a time of crisis that actually brought you into a new way of leading? Crisis presents us all kinds of opportunity. One of the things that crisis forces us to do is to stop taking things for granted. Things change. Crisis changes things, and we have to reassess and see what is reality. We have to see what are fresh stumbling blocks. We have to see what are new opportunities. We have to see who is emerging as a possible leader, who has come alive in a time of crisis. In today's episode, we talk about all of those things and more. Today's guest is Dr. Angie Ward. Angie is the author of When the Universe Cracks, Living as God's People in Times of Crisis. She's actually the general editor of that book, coming out from Nav Press in October 2021, where there are a number of voices that speak into leading and living in a time of crisis. Dr. Ward brings over 30 years of ministry experience to her various roles of leading, writing, and teaching. She serves as the assistant director of the Doctor of Ministry program at Denver Seminary. She is an author of a number of books, including I Am a Leader, published by Nav Press as well. Angie loves running, basketball, humor, movies. She and her husband, Dave, have two young adult sons and one very spoiled beagle. In today's episode, you're going to hear us talk about crisis and the various opportunities that come about. Maybe you find yourself in one, and if you don't, you will find yourself in one at some point. So today's episode might just be for you. I say that now is the time to prepare for what's next. And while I hope there isn't a crisis coming your way, it's a good time to prepare for one. Stay tuned for a word from our sponsor and then enjoy the podcast.
We are Wesley and you belong here.
I'm Gloria Zikiwe and I am Wesley.
Hi, my name's Aaron Perry and I am Wesley.
I'm Ryan Wagers and I am Wesley.
My name is Julius White and I am Wesley.
My name is Jen Peterson and I am Wesley.
I'm Angela Spangler and I am Wesley.
I am Colleen Durr and I belong here. You belong here too, because we are Wesley.
Welcome to the Wesley Seminary Podcast, Angie. Great to have you with us again.
Great to be here. Yeah, good to see you.
When the Universe Cracks, Living as God's People in Times of Crisis. It's due out in October 2021, published by Nav Press. You are the author. Maybe I'd just start by saying, or by asking, what led you to write a book about leading and acting, living in times of crisis?
Well, let me first clarify, I'm actually the general editor. So there are actually 10 contributors to this book. And so I'm the person who brought all those together and tried to create, helped bring hopefully harmony out of all these wonderful voices that we have together. The idea for the book, you know, was born during the early stages of the pandemic, but we wanted something that was more than not just pandemic COVID focused, but realized crises are nothing new to Christians or through the course of history. And so what does it look like to live faithfully as a disciple and a follower of Christ and as a leader in those type of crisis situations?
So in your work, you teach leadership, you train leaders. We were chatting just before the episode, how in times of crisis, you can't take for granted things that you had taken for granted before, right? Things have shifted, mm-hmm. Things have changed. Maybe they changed before the crisis happened and that contributed to it. Maybe the crisis brought a change and suddenly you have to get lay of the land and do a reassessment of things. I'd love for you to talk to us about one thing that you've noticed lately in your work. Is there a fresh stumbling block for leaders? Is there a leadership basic that is no longer common practice? What might we be taking for granted that we just can't take for granted anymore?
Well, first when you said, you know, we can't see or whatever, I had a friend of mine, a leader, he said, you know, I used to lead, he's a pastor of a large church. He said, I felt like I used to lead from the deck of a battleship. And he said, now I'm leading from a submarine and it's all by sonar. I can't see clearly what's going on and what's above the surface. And so I think we all are still, you know, as we're recording this, we're seeing a resurgence of cases. And so of COVID. And so I think we're all still kind of feeling like we're still on the tumble cycle of a dryer and can't really, or, you know, we've been taken under by a wave and come up kind of sputtering and not quite sure where our bearings are, you know? So I think we're still kind of in that, especially since we thought we were past things. And now it's like, we're in 2.0 of the virus, you know, and what does that mean? I'd say one of the things I've heard, at least among ministry leaders is, and I think business leaders too, there's kind of a, when will we get back to normal? And I think that can be a stumbling block or a flaw in that it's normal for us to want a sense of normalcy and some stability to that. But we could also go back, and the nature of crisis is that it's a, it really is a kind of a world-changing, life-changing thing. And so there really is no going back to normal. It's going to be different no matter what, because even if kind of business goes back to normal, or, you know, restaurant opens or whatever, we have been changed in the process. And so I think as leaders and as followers of Christ, we have to be saying, like, how am I different? How are things going to be different? And how are we going to respond to those changes that have happened, instead of trying to pull back and really, you know, going back to normal? It's a new normal now, and we haven't entirely normalized, but I think that's one of the challenges or stumbling blocks that leaders could face in this season.
There's a thought that's germinating in my mind. So I'm going to ask for an umbrella of grace, and I'm going to try and see if I can get this plane into the sky and then land it. We're recording this on September the 1st, 10 days before the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Hard to imagine. And one of the things I recall paying attention to after 9/11 was a word to parents. So I was 20 years old. I wasn't a parent at the time. I wasn't thinking in parental terms. But there was somewhere online, I heard this caution to parents to not keep replaying the news. So parents knew that this event had ended. And what I think it was a psychologist. I shouldn't claim that, but I don't know who it was. But it was a person of authority of some sort. And they were saying, don't keep replaying the news, because children aren't able to discern this has already happened. They think they're seeing something that's ongoing and continually happening. One of the things that we've tried to do in our home is talk about history. And in what some of the history curriculum that we've used, the author says it's important to teach history because it lets people know that nothing just happens sheerly by accident. Now, of course, there are things on an individual level that are by accident, but in a grand scope, nothing is sheerly by accident. There's always contributing factors. And they said, what a gift it is to teach history to your children so that they can start to realize there's never just this pure chaos to what they're going through. So taking both these thoughts, one, not replaying the news because children aren't able to discern what's happened recently and what's ongoing and happening like freshly over and over again, and teaching them history to see that there's a pattern, there's a way that things unfold that isn't marked by chaos. How does a leader kind of live in the balance of both of those things? To have a perspective that what is going on, there's a pattern to it, there's a rhythm to it, and at the same time, kind of be shielding those around them from allowing too much of what's going on to impact them over and over again. So there's kind of that dual role of having perspective and then also being the protector. Can you talk to us about how both of those might play a role in living and leading in a time of crisis?
That is a great umbrella question. And yeah, just great seeds germinating there. You know, I was thinking about the concept of adaptive leadership, which is, and that what we're talking about leading in crisis is always that. And let me just back up a little bit. I mean, I think it's Ron Heifetz talks about in his book, Leadership Without Easy Answers, that there's a type of leadership that's technical leadership. And so for that, there's, you know, there's usually a known solution, or, I mean, not necessarily easy, but there's kind of, it's a technical thing. We've done this before. We know how to do this, or the solution is clear. But most leadership and most great leadership resides in the area of adaptive leadership. And that's where there either is not a clear solution, or there's multiple options and routes or competing values, you know, different things. And so you have to navigate all those complexities. And a part of adaptive leadership, really the key task of adaptive leadership is not necessarily to navigate the challenge, but to help develop in your followers or the people that you're leading and the organization an ability to manage and to withstand change, to increase their adaptive capacity within the organization. And so I think one sense you're protecting them, but the other you're also being honest about, okay, what we don't see and what we don't know, but here's what we do. And here are the values that are going to guide us. And so I think it becomes, instead of just the technical part about what do? Because a lot of times we don't know, or there's multiple choices. It's not all played out. I think it's how do we build resilience and a sense of perspective so that we can get beyond ourselves and the fear that we may have, but to take what they call kind of this balcony view of the entire situation and of the people that you're working
with. Yeah. One of the theological concepts I like to work into leadership discussion at some point is eschatology. And so broadly, to talk about that which is coming to be and that which ought to be, right? There's this dual aspect to God bringing the future toward us, if you want to think of it like that. There's a way that it kind of names the paradox of Christian leadership. One is which we take seriously, that our actions really make a difference, right? There's an opportunity to act so that things will be different and change can happen. In the other side of things is that the future is not simply unbounded. The future is still found in God. Now there's other theological perspectives that would argue to say the future is not found in God. That's an incoherent thought. I think it makes perfect sense that all of time is found within God. I like to name that paradox of Christian leadership is like, change is possible. And at the same time, it's not completely unbounded. There's still an order to it that God is supervening and God is active within. I think that kind of names some of the paradox that you're bringing us to as well, right? There are situations that we are looking in which we need to act and we kind of know the answer. And then there are situations that we are addressing and the complexity is maybe new, or maybe it has different variables that we haven't considered before. And we're just saying, we don't know the answer to this one, right? There's a new kind of work that has to be done, but the posture of faith is one that gives us courage to tackle that, right? To tackle some of these issues that arise in crises.
Yeah. You talk about the framework of creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And then you look at like the leader's work of that is like was, is, can, should be, or will be, you know. And so the leader's job is to live in that, okay, what is, you know, the what will be is, you know, on the other side of eternity. And so the can is to the can with a view to the should be or the will be of the on earth as it is in heaven, you know, the kingdom come. And so that's, I think, where the leader lives is in those spaces going, okay, what is, but then giving hope for a vision of the future. Like you said, that's a very eschatological view of the now and the not yet of the kingdom here. And I think that's what leaders do, is help move people toward that hope and future.
One of the opportunities that comes about in crisis, one of the leadership phenomena that happen in crisis, is that some people step to the forefront that you hadn't yet considered, right? Some people rise to the occasion, as it said. One of my colleagues, Dr. Ahun Lee, she gave us a great visual of how sometimes in crisis, people will just naturally respond and they spark. And it's kind of like their crisis gets delayed a little bit so they can act in the immediate moment. And they should anticipate giving it to us as educators to say, you know, some of our students might be stepping to the forefront in times of crisis. Their crisis is going to come. In God's grace, he's kind of delaying that. But I'd like to bring it back to crisis allows for new people to emerge in leadership. Talk to leaders for a second. If they're a leader and they notice potential in someone for leadership, especially maybe they've seen them step up in a time of crisis, but the person themselves, they don't see themselves as a leader. So the leader sees potential, the person is acting as a leader, but that newly acting leader, they don't see it themselves, right? They can't yet quite see it. How can the leader work to call that leadership potential out of the person that they're observed step up in that time of crisis? How can they help that person see themselves as a leader?
You'd use that term, call it out. I think that's so critical. So, I mean, to really verbally call that out, one of the things I've realized is that when we're naturally gifted at something, we don't think it's a big deal when we do it. We kind of go, doesn't everybody see that or do that or think that way, you know? And so I think it's important for us to, as leaders ahead of maybe an emerging leader, to say, did you see how that happened? Or look what you did. This is amazing, you know, and to really call that out, actually verbally or, you know, in writing or whatever, but to express that. So I think that's one way, just really literally call that out in that person and say, you know, what you did, that had this impact, or how did you feel like you, I saw you come alive, you know, it's like, call out your observations and the impact that person had or in that moment and what was like electrifying. And I think the other is to give opportunity. So the actor Jack Lemmon once, he talked about when you make it, send the elevator back down for the people that are waiting to come up. And so what are ways that we as leaders can send the elevator back down for those who are coming up who and maybe don't have the confidence? And so it's inviting them into the elevator with you, or inviting them to the space, or providing opportunities for them, giving more responsibility, communicating through that you trust them and that you're wanting to give them opportunity for that. I think those are some big ways we can do that.
Last question, Angie. One of the biggest challenges in leadership is accountability, right? How do you hold people accountable? How do you allow yourself to be held accountable by colleagues or by people who report to you, by people that you're responsible to? Maybe a leader has stepped out of line and they need to be called back. Maybe a person to whom responsibility has been delegated, they haven't followed through, right? I mean, that's just one of the toughest things in pastoral ministry, especially, is delegation. And let's say it's been well delegated, right? There's been good training and good resourcing. The person just doesn't follow through. And you know, you can't just leave it, right? There has to be a word said to the person who has stepped out of line. There has to be a word of accountability to the person who has dropped the ball, not just to leave it, because then everybody has a measure of ambiguity, right? I'd love for you to share a little bit of wisdom with us. How can we engage in accountability that's both responsible, but also redemptive?
Yeah, redemptive is such a key word in there, because it's not punitive. I think it's going back to that can be and will be, you know, kind of thing. And as a leader, calling them to something better or greater. And this accountability is for your benefit, not just because you dropped a ball and because the ball needs to be picked up, but it's like, it's for making you a better person, more in the image of Christ, you know, and a person of character and integrity. And I think one of the greatest things we can cultivate in ourselves as leaders is a desire to continue to grow and to a willingness to seek out accountability. So not even just because it's there because something didn't get done or because it's part of the hierarchy or the organizational structure, but for us to seek that out, even in our personal lives, you know, the stuff that maybe it's not in the job description, you know, kind of thing. So it's not just, well, you didn't do this part of your job description, but so that we're always inviting people to speak into our lives, and that there's people who know us who aren't just our social media fans. Become easy to have this public persona. Nobody necessarily has to know the real us. And so I think it's just so critical for us to invite accountability and to have that relationship, which as leaders, we get more and more distant from all that. That's the tendency. Mm-hmm. And so I can't overstate that living in authentic community as leaders, and those people know us and then they can speak into our lives, not as our fans, but our true friends.
Joining us today has been Dr. Angie Ward. Angie is the author of I Am a Leader, When Women Discover the Joy of Their Calling. And she is the general editor of the book, When the Universe Cracks, Living as God's People in Times of Crisis. Both are published by NAV Press. When the Universe Cracks, due out in October 2021, I Am a Leader is already available. Angie, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. I certainly appreciate you sharing your experiences, your wisdom, and your voice with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Just a joy to be here.
Listeners, thanks for tuning in. You make conversations like this possible. Without you, I wouldn't be having them. So thanks so much for listening in. The Wesley Seminary podcast exists to introduce topics and resources for fruitful ministry. If you found this episode to have done just that, please like and subscribe, share it around, let others know about the podcast and about how they can be resourced for the ministry that they are in as well. Thanks so much to Connor for your production work. Appreciate you being such a great teammate and partnering and collaborating on the Wesley Seminary podcast as well. Thanks again, Angie. Thank you, listeners. Thanks again, Connor. Trust you all to have a great day.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the name Wesley Seminary.